It's June 22nd. There's all kinds of stuff going on here, as I'm sure you've heard. So we're going to get started with Arts Live and Local. And Arts Live and Local is brought to you in part by Columbia River Coffee Roaster, wholesaling fresh roasted coffees since 1992 at 279 West Marine Drive, the Old Finnish Meat Market, with Three Cups Coffee House up front, espresso, coffee, homemade baked goods, Wi-Fi, and gifts open every day. And Arts Live and Local is sponsored in part by the 28th season of, go ahead, sing it along, Shanghai in Astoria. I have been doing this for 11 years, do you believe? Opening July 12th. But even more important, this weekend and the next weekend as well, the third annual Junior Shanghai is already running right now. So tickets and information are available by calling 503-325-6104 or online at AsterStreetOperaCompany.com. And I can tell you, Junior Shanghai is running Saturday nights at 7:30 and Sundays at 2. Going to start off with a little music to let you know of one of the things that's going on this weekend and this weekend only, and that is the Scandinavian Festival, the 45th only. And the group that I have is Jeppu Krudona, something in that order. So if you like to have fun, to dance, to eat good food, listen to good music, and learn a little bit about the culture that is quite prevalent in this area, come on over to the Scandinavian Festival. We're going to be talking about it a little bit more later because we have the none other than the polka chicks coming in. But not right now. Right now I have... Definitely not chicks in this room. I have got Drew Herzig and Greg Darms here to tell us about brush strokes and quarter notes. Very clever. Was that yours?
Charles.
Yes. Okay. One of our local artists came up with that delightful name. And why don't you welcome.
Hi, Carol.
Drew, Greg, you're not on this show very often, mm-hmm. as some people are. So, tell us about this this idea. It's happening 4 to 7 today, although I understand that the light box started at 3, and 7 venues, galleries, and the Astoria Music Festival office are just partying to honor the Astoria Music Festival.
Yes.
So what is it?
Well, Carol, it just made sense. While people are here for music, they might as well see the other arts that Astoria has to offer. So we're combining the two. There's going to be live music in at least two of the venues here. The River Sea Gallery is going to have the Tango Quartet,
all right,
local musicians, and the Kala Gallery at Hipfish is going to have Baroque music on flute and recorder.
Really?
And all the seven galleries are having music-related art. And it's like an out-of-season art walk from 4 to 7. It ends before the concert tonight, so people can come see the art and get back and see the concert tonight.
Sounds like a terrific idea. Now, I understand that this is an ACT event, is that right? What does ACT stand for?
It's the Astoria Arts Community Together. It's another organization that's trying to pull the arts community together, as the title implies, kind of thing. And one of the ways of doing it is to say, why not combine events? At least why not stack them so that when people are here, they've got more than one thing to do. While they're waiting for the show to start in the evening, they can come to a gallery in the afternoon.
Right, and there's going to be noshes and maybe a little wine
and
stuff like
that. Yes, it's just
like
the regular art walk, except this is a music-themed walk, and it's on a Friday.
I love it. So Greg Darms is one of our esteemed local artists. And Greg, where are you showing your art?
I'll be at Kala Hipfish Gallery. Okay. I'm actually set up there now. So
you're all set up
already? All set up, yeah, ready to go in an hour or so.
Okay. So what did you do? I mean, did you do stuff specifically for the show, or you gathered from your immense collection?
I gathered from my collections, such as it is. And I felt when I heard that the theme of the show was music and how it related to art or something something of that sort, I got excited and talked to the people at ACT and so on, and got in touch with the gallery, and they were happy to have me join in on it. So I'm looking really forward to it because it's something that I've felt for a long, long time, both in my writing, which I've done much more than art over the decades.
That's right.
Coming more recently to art in the last 15
years. Greg is a poet and was the editor and publisher. What was the name of the...
The magazine was called Convolvulus, a literary magazine with some art relation as well. There were always half a dozen, 6 to 10 art pages in the magazine as well.
And you're
still an editor of Radiolarian Press, which puts out poetry, nonfiction, memoirs, a variety of books. But as I say, just my feeling that music is not only coexistent with writing and the visual arts and the other creative forms, but to me they all interpenetrate in a real way. We think sometimes of the temporal performance-based art, a symphony, let's say an opera, a dance show, something that takes place in a given period of time, as well could definitely be, you know, art and music and these things. It's pretty clear, but we don't always think that when we look at, let's say, a painting or read a poem. We might have a feeling about that, but for me it's actually quite involved with the whole process behind the making. It's very little difference in my mind between the musical impulse and act and that of, which I've not done as much, although I did play clarinet in my student days and guitar most of my life, but more in the writing and then more recently in the art. They're very similar processes to me.
I want to bring in, we fortunately have a third guest just joined us. Yeah, we're going to shift the mics over. Oh, this is so fun. And welcome to the room. Everybody did a little bit of a shift today, a little bit of a dance, an artistic kind of a choreography to enable all our guests to get here. So I have Carrie Lewis here with me and with Drew Herzig and Greg Darms, who you've been hearing just now. So, hi, Carrie.
Hi. And I just want to say how happy I am that this whole confluence of the arts is going on right now. I saw that and I thought, yes. And then, I mean, like last Wednesday night when I heard that squeak. and so last Wednesday night when they had that thing over at PAC where the music was going on and they were creating art as it was going on. And then tomorrow with Sergey, we're doing this piece called Pictures at an Exhibition.
Oh, influence
which
the rest
is, of me. I mean, you're talking about art being influenced by music. We're talking about music being influenced by art. I mean, it's
all
a,
one.
It's a circular reasoning type of thing. Well, some would say circular firing squad. But
whoops. The creative force and how it comes out among different people. So, yeah, I was thinking that too when Greg was talking. I was thinking of Wednesday nights. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a few years ago, we did something similar. Our local artist, Roger Hayes, got up there, and he was behind the screen with a brush. And as the group was making music, and it was another fabulous group. I think they were from California, were they?
Wasn't that Molly Barth's group from Eugene?
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. It was so exciting, mm-hmm. too, because he was doing this. And we were watching the musicians and the art being inspired by the music and back and forth. And I noticed on Wednesday night that some of the musicians were kind of trying to peek over to see what was going on with the graphic.
This kind of collaboration is wonderful. And of course, history goes back a long way. That, you know, certainly all the way to the beginning of opera and probably before that. But in the 20th century, I'm thinking of people like John Cage. Mm-hmm. What do we call John Cage? Musician, right. Certainly. Composer, a writer, an artist, and his incredible collaborations with Merce Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
So
the
there's
dance.
The and it almost sounds like the kind of happening that, yeah. that we're talking about yeah. here is. Yeah.
Well, it's great because this is the 10th annual Astoria Music Festival, but this is the first annual Brush Strokes and Quarter Notes, I hope. Am I right, Drew?
Yes, we'd like to do this again and expand it because it's such a natural fit. And I want to throw in one of my favorite terms, synesthesia.
Oh, wow.
When two sensory modes overlap, some people hear music and they hear it in color. Some people see a painting and they hear tones from it kind of thing. So this is a natural sensory mode for people to see art and think in musical terms, to hear music and think in pictorial terms. So we're doing it live and local.
Very, very exciting. Mm-hmm. So let's give some folks the actual logistics here.
It's this afternoon, isn't it?
It is this afternoon, yeah. As a matter of fact, it is from 4 to 7, although as I mentioned, Lightbox, I think, is ongoing. Mm-hmm. They started at 3 o'clock. So, Drew, do you want to give us some of the rundown here, who's doing what?
Certainly. Well, I'll mention the two places that have live music confirmed. There may be some pop-up musicians, you never know, but the Riversea Gallery is having the Tango Quartet,
mm-hmm.
local musicians playing tango. And that's going to be at 4:30 and 5:30.
And that
and that's
would
one
be
of your favorite people, Angela Calvin.
Right,
Peterson,
Angela
kind of thing,
Peterson
Rosemary
Calvin,
Ginther, Jan Faber, and Judy Woodward.
You have this memorized.
I've
I
worked
am
on this.
Very
I've studied
impressed.
Up. Yeah.
You know, this is radio. You can read stuff, but no, Drew's got it. He's
it's
just
the eye contact.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see how well you do on the rest of them. Go.
All right, and then at the Kala Hipfish Gallery, also 4:30 and 5:30, Hannelore Morgan and Charles Schwab are going to be playing Baroque music on recorder and Baroque flute. And this is not your grandmother's Baroque music. This is perfect music for a rainy day. This will bring the sunshine out. It's just gorgeous.
Wait a
Baroque
minute. That's
music.
A big promise to be
it
making.
Is, it
I don't know
kind of
whether you want to.
Yeah.
So let's mention Kala
yes.
at Hipfish
yes.
Is 1017 Marine Drive. It's Marine between 10th and 11th.
Right next to Lightbox or across from the Himani Indian Restaurant, if that's your landmark.
Right. There mm-hmm. you go. And mm-hmm. so as long as you mention Lightbox.
Yes.
Actually, let's tell who the artists are. Now, Greg is showing at Kala at Hipfish. Greg Darms, Darren Orange. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. Here's another crossover. Darren Orange is the one who painted
the red violin,
and that is being featured at the. Oh man, I just love when this happens. I just love it. It's so organic, but that's because we have so many creative people in this area. Mm-hmm. That's why it happens. So yeah, he did a painting of a red violin, a large one, and then there are prints there for sale as well. Roxanne Turner, who was actually on my show on this very show, I think either last week. Or the week before.
Yes, it's the June show at Hipfish is still up. Roxanne Turner and Marcy Baker.
And Marcy Baker.
They're beautiful Baker. Little wooden boxes with found art and objects kind of thing. So that show will still be visible.
Excellent. Excellent. So, Greg, where did you fit your stuff in?
Well, I thought I might be fitting it amongst the boxes for a while.
Yeah.
But actually, it's in... at the gallery, they have a name for it. I forget. It's the back corner where the ceiling gets lower. It led sort of like that in the little alleyway. So mm-hmm. it's very kind of an intimate setting, which works well, especially the back little hallway with a lot of my very small pieces that are kind of surreal. Mm-hmm. And so you need to get up close to them, and with a light installed in there, I think it works pretty well.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Have you shown there before?
No, I haven't. Okay. I'm glad to be part of what they're doing. It's very exciting. The space is beautiful, and their programs have been really interesting.
The acoustics are fantastic there.
And the acoustics, yeah.
Let me ask you one other question, though, Greg. Where, now, do you have a studio?
I've had a series of studios. They usually end up being restaurants or something. I started down in what's now the Red Building.
Oh, right.
And then was out in Alderbrook Station for a while.
Okay, right.
Right, and now I'm out in the barn in Swenson, and they're all sort of industrial, but
they
work for
me. I don't think that's going to become a restaurant, I have a feeling.
No,
so I think you're safe on that one. So, okay, so that's Kala, and then go back to the River Sea. Who's showing there?
Well, three local artists, Brian Cameron, a painter, Jean Lowry, a printmaker, and oddly enough, Charles Schweigert, one of our local mixed media artists.
And he's the one who's playing music.
At Hipfish, yes.
At Hipfish, so and he's showing at River Sea.
Yes,
that's cute.
See, he's a Renaissance man, multitasking.
Yes, there you go. Sounds kind of like you. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yeah. And these were works created for the music festival that are all around musical themes, and it's just beautiful to see three different approaches to incorporating musical themes into art.
Yeah, and they are very different artists, too. Excellent. Okay, mm-hmm. Go on now.
Well,
where
we
else?
Should mention Old Town Framing is participating, and, of course, the Music Festival Office, which has become a gallery over the past 3 months with art from Music Festival volunteers, so they're going to be open this afternoon as well, and there's some great art there, actually. Yeah. Vicki Baker has art there. Her husband, Jan Faber, is playing at the River Sea. That's all it goes.
Okay, and let's mention Old Town Framing is 1287 Commercial, and right next door is the Music Festival Office, 1271 Commercial.
Everything is right downtown. The Lunar Boy Gallery is participating. Lightbox, as you mentioned, next to Hipfish. Studio 11, which is on 11th and Exchange, they're doing something really interesting. They're going to be showing Eisenstein's film Alexander Nevsky with the original score by Sergei Prokofiev. So this is like far out stuff, but it's hilarious.
This
it's great.
Great.
If you haven't seen Alexander Nevsky, well, what can I say?
Yeah. And they'll have the studio artists have their work up there, which I saw already. And so they're the one who's a little bit out of the way on 11th and Exchange. So we've got Marine Drive, Kala, and Lightbox. And Lightbox has Melodious Magical Wet Plate photographs of Marcy Merrill. I mean, when I read that, I thought, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Sounds luscious, actually. Yes. And there is a picture of it, I think, in Coast Weekend, and it looks quite wonderful, too. Okay, so we're all over the map, and I bet you can pick up these.
At each venue, you get a guide to the rest of the
So you can catch the rest.
Yes.
So again, it's from 4 to 7, but you can head over. You can probably start
The galleries
now.
Are open now.
The galleries not only are open, but the art is hanging.
Yes,
so,
that's true.
Yeah, and how much wine can you drink anyway? Mm-hmm. So start now, wherever you are. Just start heading out.
Just remember, the live music is at 4:30 and 5:30, both at River Sea and Kala.
Right. Okay, well, this is brilliant. I love it, and I'm so delighted, and ACT, Astoria Community Together, is that?
Arts Community
Together. Arts Community Together,
there are two A's in ACT.
Yes.
It's
there are two A's in ACT. Yeah, right. Very good. Okay, and this is going to be one heck of a day. Okay, thank you so much. Now, why don't you guys hang out? Because Carrie actually is here not just to appreciate and give his insight on the art happening, but also to talk about the Astoria Music Festival and what's going on. Carrie Lewis is he does just about everything there. He is the pianist whom you see on, I would say, 60% of the concerts at least, doing all different kinds of works. But he's also the director of the, is it the Chamber? What's the title? What's the appropriate title?
I don't even know what my title is. I just know I have to learn a lot of chamber music and decide what's good to put on programs and how to put programs together without doing all the work all the time. And
well, so do you basically put together these schedules other than things like Norma, which I presume?
I do lots of the little things. I'm not involved in the opera. I'm just involved in the chamber music part.
Well, I was looking and seeing that there is so much going on this week, too. So why don't you talk about...
Well, tonight...
What's happening?
You've got one of the most exciting pieces you've ever heard that was written by Mendelssohn for eight string players. And my goodness, your hair will stand on end by the time it's over with. There's the last movement of this piece starts with the most incredible scrubby, scrubby, scrubbying that Sergei Antonov has ever done.
That would be our cellist who was here last week, our fabulous gold-winning Tchaikovsky cellist.
By the way, I just saw him yesterday. He has a couple of big boxes like this
yes.
of CDs that
yes.
have just come in that yes. are especially for Astoria. You have special covers on it for Astoria.
With the Astoria Bridge.
With the Astoria Bridge.
I wrote to him and said, please hold one for me because it's a limited edition.
It's a limited edition, and I'm sure people will want to.
I know they will.
It's special. I've played both of those. Everything that's on that record, I've played with him at one time or another, and I'm anxious to hear how it's really supposed to go.
Harry has got to be one of the most humble people I know, too, but with a wicked sense of humor, I might add. So it. You know.
I let that business about Baroque go by without saying if it ain't Baroque, don't fix it.
It's a good thing you did, because this one is also wicked about that. The two of you, poor Greg and I, would be suffering here. So that is tonight at 7:30 at the Liberty Theater.
Yeah, let me tell you about the other stuff that's tonight,
tell
too. Ian Scarf and
I,
he's in charge of the apprentices who are here,
Right.
And we're doing some Schubert forehands, which is kind of neat to see two grown people sitting at a piano at the same time and trying to stay out of each other's way. It's both humorous and exciting. Then also, with the winds, I'm playing a Poulenc sextet with a bunch of wind players, and that's just a total, we around here so far, most of our chamber music has been with strings, so I thought it was time to involve some of the other side of that, too.
So you've got flute, clarinet, horn, oboe, and bassoon, and piano.
Mm-hmm. And the Poulenc stuff is a mixture. Poulenc wrote two pieces. One was the one that sounded like Stravinsky, and the other one that sounded like something that just came out of a cocktail lounge. And so it's a back and forth between strident, sassy stuff and real sexy cocktail music.
Oh, my God. Also, more luscious. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's just the first half of the concert.
Well, no, that's it.
Oh, no, Felix Mendelssohn is at the
end. Mendelssohn is the end.
At the end.
You get a chance to go to the bathroom before that.
We give you a break. Not go to the bathroom, go buy.
Oh, yes, to go buy Sergei's records.
That's right. Sergei and several other of our artists, we might add. Boy,
and,
then
tomorrow afternoon at Sergei's happy hour.
Yes.
Let me see. We're doing the pictures at an exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting situation. You know, you think of art as being what lasts and music as being what's temporal and sort of goes away as soon as it's done. We've lost a lot of the pictures that Mussorgsky wrote those things on. And so now we just have his sound images of what those pictures might have looked like, because we can't really say for sure what those pictures were. It's just kind of interesting.
That's very interesting, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. You're allowed to talk.
You
guys are allowed to talk.
Well, I'm just going to jump in listening to what Carrie's saying about the relative how long music and art last or something. Music is often talked about as the most abstract art, and yet it is, the more and more I get involved with watching these performances, and I went to the master class last night saw Ruth Ann Swenson and her husband work with the students. Music is incredibly physical as well as abstract, as we all, it's just, I remember my experiences with, trying to fool with a clarinet when I was, 12 years old and what that was like to get the sound out of it. But now I'm seeing Ruth Ann Swenson manipulating the abdomen and the rib cage and the jaw in various other parts of the singer while they're singing. And I'm sure Carrie can tell us much more about the actual, playing of instruments and so on and what's involved with that.
Well, a lot of it has to do with literally how it feels when you're doing something. You change. If you feel differently while you're it's too complicated.
It's
Carol and I are dancers, and we know that feeling.
Exactly.
You get in the groove with the music, and when it's flowing, when you feel energized throughout your body, you know you're in the right space.
Right,
and I'm sure musicians can.
And
the
when
same
you're just
thing.
Trying to make it happen, and it's not there, it's all right. But it's
well, you know, last week Sergei was talking about the fact that he started playing cello at the age of 5. Mm-hmm. His mother was his first teacher for 12 years. And he said what was so frustrating, a five-year-old's hands starting on the cello, he never got the right note. You know, just finding the string and the note and all, it was not a satisfying experience. And then he said, and now it all clicked together, he said that's the difference. When kids start on piano, they can plunk, you know, they can actually there it is.
The
boom,
there.
You hit it.
You can point at a note and it's there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I thought so many of the people who come on this show, so many of the musicians talk about how they, no matter what instrument they play, they started on piano. And when he said that, I thought, aha, now I understand. You know, I just thought, well, that's just what people do. But
I never got any further.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to learn.
Yeah. Just, if I could plunk the way you plunk, right.
And going back to what we were talking about earlier, the correspondences between the arts, that same kind of zone, that same sense of touch, the same sense of involvement, for example, Drew was talking about dancing, comes through for me sometimes in writing and in drawing.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly tactile, connected, opening out to many dimensions. And when you're really involved, it's time is of a very different
when
quality.
You can really feel the grain of the of the lead against against
pencil
the paper,
and
the different kinds of paper and so forth.
True.
That it's all part of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is fabulous.
All art is one.
And this is quite a diverse group here, too, with our different... I also play washboard, I should say.
Well, you certainly feel a lot.
Oh, yeah. Vibrations are great. Okay, so now, what else is
Tomorrow afternoon, there's a big trio that Roy Milan is joining Sergei and me, big trio by Arensky. Arensky was a sort of a Tchaikovsky wannabe, and his music is just absolutely gorgeous. And he never quite made it in this country, certainly not to the extent that Tchaikovsky did. But his music is every bit as good as it is, as Tchaikovsky's, and it's of that vein, terribly romantic, terribly lush chords, and draining emotionally, and all that sort of stuff. And he's also doing two or three little songs that of Tchaikovsky that have been.
Right.
So it's an all Russian afternoon. Now in the evening tomorrow, it's all Brahms.
Aha.
And you got the Brahms double with Anthea and Jason, who were here last year. And they're also participating in the Mendelssohn octet tonight. Oh. I mean, it's a sort of incestuous.
So that's violin, violin and
welcome
cello.
To Astoria, yes.
Do you know something we don't know?
Well, the good thing is that it's in the arts. We like it that way. This kind of, but they, so they're going to be doing Brahms and.
I think there's
Saturday.
A symphony in there tonight. Tomorrow, that's tomorrow night. Yeah,
Saturday at 7:30. By the way, folks, you can be following along if you go to AstoriaMusicFestival.org, and then if you want to get your tickets right now, you can actually call the box office at the Liberty is open. I know 503-325-5922 extension 55, and or when you get to the Astoria Music Festival office to see the art, you can buy a ticket as well. Now, what else? You've got this stuff going on all week. You know, I wrote down some things that are going on.
Next week?
Well, no, this is during the week. Mm. This is pretty outrageous. Monday at 3 p.m. Now, this isn't yours, but Mozart and the Museum, that's at the Columbia River Maritime Museum. Monday at 6:30 p.m. at the Bridgewater Bistro is Bach at the Bistro. Tuesday, 6:30, is Mozart and Martinis at Clemente's. And Wednesday at 6:30 is Bach at the Brewery at Fort George. So you can listen to music and drink, it looks like, a lot. Although you can eat also at the Bridgewater. So
well, that's what you would call a box lunch.
Don't you two, don't you start, because if those two start, we'll never. Hey, this is fantastic. And we have a whole bunch of stuff happening. This is going on because there's next weekend as well.
Yeah, I think there's some magic flute happening next week.
Yes.
Let's not forget the kiddie programs. I think there's some magic flute tomorrow morning.
That would be 11 o'clock at the Performing Arts Center.
And it's a program specially designed for children. And do I remember that admission is by bringing a can or something for the food bank?
Yep.
And then the next week we're
Troll Radio Review.
Yes.
Always our last Saturday, only this week is going to be special.
Yes, we're going to have some storytelling along with some music making.
Great. So be sure to, and that's not just for little children, that's for all age. It's a family thing. So that's tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. at the PAC, the Performing Arts Center, our beloved Performing Arts Center, which we so much want to keep in this community.
Oh, let's keep that. My goodness.
Yes,
that
is, it's quite the resource.
I'll be
and
quiet,
then next week at 11 again. I should mention that this, I've heard that the magic flute that's going to be done next weekend is not your normal, whatever that means, magic flute. It is being geared to the local culture. And I'm going to let that be as is. We'll talk about it. Yes, just think about it. It's going to be really, really cool. This is just marvelous. If you have any questions, check out the Astoria Music Festival .org, or go over to the office, 1271 Commercial, or get your tickets at the Liberty. Thank you so much. Is there anything else we need to say? Don't forget, from 4 to 7, right now, head on over to these galleries. Old Town Framing, Astoria Music Festival Office, both on Commercial between 11th and 12th.
Riversea, right across the street.
And then Riversea's down a block at 1160 Commercial. And Lunar Boy, 240 11th. And right down the block from there is Lightbox at 1045 Marine, and Kala at Hipfish, 1017 Marine. And then up 11th and Exchange is Studio 11 with Alexander Nevsky. What a kick. Oh, my gosh. I remember that film. Thank you so much for coming in, Carrie Lewis from the Astoria Music Festival. Carrie, you live in Portland, is that right?
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here all this time. It's wonderful.
We look forward to it every year.
Good. We look forward to having you come. And my local esteemed guests, artist Greg Darms, artist and poet Greg Darms, and Drew Herzig, who has something to do with putting this all together, the Astoria Art Community Together event. And that's another thing to be watching for in our community. Thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Carol.
Wonderful. And this is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, 91.9 and 89.5. And I have a little music from Jess Williamson, who's going to be 6 to 9. She'll be at the Sou'Wester tomorrow night. That's in Seaview.
Been draped over dozens of faces. Been cut, dried, bleached, and braided. One part dead, one part haunted. And you see the ghosts. A little squint, now skeletons. Now skeletons. Shamans drink the salt water. State your case, all stand, rotate. State your case, stand, rotate. so ugly. Wash my mouth, or just watch me now.
Listening to Jess Williamson, who will be at the Sou'wester tomorrow evening. And now I'm going to shift over because my next guests are right here. They made it, and we're delighted to have them here. The Polka Chicks. Hang in there. This is the part of the Scandinavian Festival that's happening this weekend, only the 45th annual. My goodness. Why, they were, we don't even know if their parents were alive then. They certainly weren't. Here you go, some music. With the music playing in the background, this is the Polka Chicks. Does this not make you absolutely jump up and start dancing? It does me, and I am delighted. Woo! They are the featured entertainers at the 2012 Astoria Scandinavian Festival, and that's on the web, AstoriaScanFest. com. I know some of you are listening on the web right now, so that's the best way for you to be able to find out all that's going on. Okay, now I'm going to give it a try. My guests are Teija, who plays accordion. Is that pretty close?
That was perfect.
Oh, I love it. I said I better do it fast before I forget. And Kukka.
Right.
On fiddle. Okay. And also Janet.
Yes, all the way from Astoria.
Janet Bowler.
Thank you for hosting us.
Oh, you're very welcome. So why don't you tell us, where are you from, and are you here just for this festival, or are you touring the United States, or what's happening?
Yes, we came all the way from Helsinki, Finland, and we were invited by Janet here, and we gladly took the chance to come here and play for the Scandinavian people. And last night we had a concert in Seattle at the Nordic Heritage Museum, and that was really great start for us. And
good. And will you be able to do some other music in the States before you go home?
And then we have a concert in Salem on Sunday evening.
Okay.
So it's kind of busy schedule for us, but then on Wednesday morning we head back to Finland. And
okay. And is this, have you two been playing together for a while?
For ages.
For eight Since years?
For ages.
Since you were babies?
Yes, almost. No, actually it was 2004 when we started this band. And first we were in Norway playing on some kind of festival. And we had a polka battle with some Danish guys, and of course we won it.
Of course.
girls always do.
Well, and you probably distracted them so much because you're so fabulous and so beautiful.
Oh, you have no idea.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about yourselves. Did you both grow up in Helsinki?
No, I grew up in the northern west coast area near, if you know Finland, quite near Oulu, in a small town called Haapavesi, and in an even smaller village called Karsikas.
Okay.
Nobody even in Finland knows them. But there might be some people from around there.
Again, before you were born, I was lucky enough to hitchhike, actually, up and then come down through Finland. And I was in Sami country.
Oh.
And so, but it was a while ago.
Okay.
I don't know on the names of all the place, but it was just beautiful,
beautiful
country. So did you move to Helsinki at some point, or did you get together
on
music?
Yeah, after when I graduated from the high school, then I applied to the Sibelius Academy in Helsinki.
Sibelius Academy.
Yeah, to the folk music department. And then I was lucky to get in, and then I moved to Helsinki. And then I graduated from the Sibelius Academy 3 years ago.
Ah, so did you start playing music when you were teeny tiny? And did you really start on an accordion?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
I started when I was 7 years old, and my parents danced folk dances. And that's why they loved so accordion so much, and they wanted their girl to play the accordion as well. And that was good because that way I could skip all the working at their farm.
So
my older brothers had to do the hard work, and I just could play the accordion. Please, mom and dad, with that.
That sounds like a terrific plan. Okay, folks, be listening out there. This is a plan, you know.
Actually, there wasn't much more to do than just work in the farm or play instrument.
Well, you made a good choice, and I'm sure it's making a lot more people happy, too. Did you expect, though, not when you're seven necessarily, but as you were growing up, did you realize how important it was to you that it was going to become your life?
Yeah, I always kind of knew that it would be my profession, because I was kind of lazy with other stuff.
Well, you know, we were just talking, and you said you heard, and we were talking about how challenging the music is, including physically. That it's a physical, and of course, if you're holding an accordion, that
and when you're traveling and you don't have any strong guys to get your instruments on the airport.
You'll have to be the strong guy yourself.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, Kuka, what about you and the fiddle? Did you, first of all, where did you grow up?
I'm a city girl. I was born in Helsinki.
Aha, uh-huh, you were.
And I was 3 years old when I started playing.
Three?
Yes, but my parents have told me that we were just running around the room, so we weren't playing so much.
Was your family musical? Were they playing music? Or?
Not so much. My dad used to play with one finger the same tune for 30 years. So
lovely. So why did they start you on the fiddle so early?
I guess they just wanted me and my sister to play something, and I said at the music store that I want to play violin.
Okay.
I haven't regretted it. I love that instrument.
And did you choose folk music, or were you playing classical as well? Or?
I started with classical.
Yeah.
Then I went to pop and jazz conservatory. And then actually I realized that I want to do some folk music.
Okay.
And now I do all of them together.
You do? Okay, wonderful. And so the two of you met where? How?
At Sibelius Academy.
Oh, you did. Okay. Okay. And do you play with other groups as well, either of you?
Yes.
You do? In Finland or anywhere? You travel with other groups as well?
Mostly in Finland.
Yeah. Is the folk music popular there? Because you said your parents were dancers, and so I'm just wondering. I mean, young people, I'm thrilled that young people are choosing to learn the folk music and to do the folk music.
Yeah, I think it's becoming more popular because, for example, I teach in a music school in Helsinki, which is dedicated to folk music, and that is something new that not any music schools offered folk music. Folk music education for like to start as a child, maybe like 10-15 years ago. There wasn't, it was only classical.
Oh, well, this is exciting then.
And then this now I'm really, really like feeling like I have to, it's important to find the ways how to teach that music and anyway, and in that way that you will make a good musician. Of a child who is starting with folk music, and then how you can develop in that music.
So it's a real responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we I know Janet and I are both delighted that obviously she found you and brought you here. So, and I'm delighted too that you are doing what you're doing, making the fabulous music as well as passing it on to others. We have a couple more minutes. Janet, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the festival in general and some of the
Well, the festival has already started. It started at 2 p.m. this afternoon, and we have entertainment happening right now on two different stages and out at the festival.
At the fairgrounds.
County Fairgrounds, and the beer garden opened about 45 minutes ago.
Oh, there you
are. The polka chicks like that.
Did you hear that, folks? The polka chicks like that.
And something new that I should let everybody know is the beer garden is indoors this year. We cleaned out a pig barn created some Scandinavian atmosphere, and the smell is fine. And we're all going to have fun indoors, and we're going to stay warm and dry.
Well, if you drink enough beer, it won't matter anyway. So tell us about this Ole and Lene. Ole and Lene.
Well, somebody's getting married at festival this year.
Oh, and really?
Three times. Ole and Lena are going to be married.
Oh, okay.
In a Reader's Theater production by Astor Street Opry.
Right.
And Chris Lynn Taylor is the director, so I think you all know what you can expect.
Yes, fabulous.
And if you are if you decide to join us and be a guest, we promise you white wedding cake.
Oh, my. There you go. And did you give us the times? I'm sorry.
It's every day. Today at 5:30 p.m., Saturday at 7 p.m., and Sunday at 2:30 p.m.
Fantastic.
So there's one showing every day.
Fantastic. And there is so much, and I will never miss the Scandinavian Festival. I buy enough rice pudding to put in my, what's that called? It's got the fruit soup on it.
Riisipuuro,
yeah, like that. And like she said, and
the same, and it's almost like same, rice pudding, riisipuuro.
Yeah. Why can't I remember it then from one year to the next? But it's a wonderful festival, and it celebrates a lot of the local culture here, plus all of the visitors, dancing, music, food, culture, and fabulous costume. I must say, and then I'm going to have to let you go, is that the polka chicks are, they're wearing clothing like everybody else, but Janet is wearing her bunad, her Norwegian bunad, which is absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
You have one last thing you wanted to send out to them?
No, just everybody come and join us, and we're going to have lots of fun.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming to Astoria, to States, and to Coast Community Radio. We're delighted to have you here. That's Teija. What's your last name? Do you want to try
it? Niko.
Niko.
Yeah.
That's not so bad. I won't spell it right, but that's okay. Teija, Niko, and Kuka?
Lehto.
Lehto. Yeah. Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, thank you so much for coming in, and Janet Bowler, of
thank
course.
Thank you very much.
Okay, it's Coast Community Radio, and I'm going to send them out and bring in my last guest, who's here to tell us about trash art. What could be better? But first, we're going to hear a little bit of music from the Strangled Darlings. They're going to be at Hazel's tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9 KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. I'm sure you remember this is Strangled Darlings is going to be at Hazel's 1313 Marine, new ownership, and very exciting tomorrow evening. Strangled Darlings, it's a beautiful album cover too. And my last guests are here all the way from KTCB land. We have Lorraine Ortiz and John Freethy. Am I saying it right?
Yes.
Okay. And they're here, as I said, they're here to talk about trash art. 14th annual trash art show, which is very exciting. And it's a combination this year, first time, of Cardam Recycling and the Hoffman Center. So this is a happy happy union here. Tell us what's going on. First of all, what is trash art?
Trash art is a medium that Susan Walsh and I, down in Nehalem, like to think we coined, but at the time we were coming up with a show that would inspire people to creatively use materials that they found at Cardam Recycling. We created this show called the Trash Art Show. Now it's a medium that you find internationally of people upcycling everything imaginable into usable, aesthetic, and creative.
I've never heard that term, Lorraine. Upcycling. Instead of recycling, upcycling.
Come
on,
Carol, get with the program.
I love it. That's it. I'm going to use it from now. I'm stealing it. Thank
okay.
you.
All right.
Beautiful. Yeah, because certainly, I have to attest, I have been to the show, and it's astounding. And you have to get up close on some of these pieces to even realize that what they're made of. But they're just the creativity that goes, the imagination, the humor, and the beauty that goes into these. So why don't we give people the logistics first so that people know this is not going on this weekend. You have a bit of a breather. This is happening.
Well, why we are here today is because next Friday, June 29th, we will be taking in the artwork. So if anybody who's listening is preparing work to put in the show, you're going to be down where we are next Friday, June 29th from 5 to 7 at Hoffman Center, which is 594 Lineta Avenue. And then we have a second day for accepting art, which will be Saturday, June 30th. Then the show itself, I'll let John talk about when the show is.
Okay. And I want to mention that if you get yourself to Manzanita, don't worry about the number, because Lineta is the main drag, and the Hoffman Center.
You can't miss it.
No, you can't miss it.
Very easy to find, right across the street from the library.
Right. So tell us, please, John.
We're going to have an artist opening Friday, July 6th, and that is going to be from 6 o'clock to 8:30 p.m. That's going to be the big fun evening, and the show will also run Saturday from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and we'll close out on Sunday, July 8th. Is open from 11 o'clock to 1 p.m. that day.
So is it all straight art on the wall. People come and they can buy, or there's not a silent auction or something like that for this. This is...
Well, it is a straight art show, and you may be asked to leave your art on the wall to keep the show intact, because people love to come from Portland. They can't get there till Saturday or Sunday, and we want them to be able to see the entire show. However, we are going to have something new this year, and that is when John and I receive the art, it's like Christmas. We don't know what's coming, and when it comes this year, we're going to select the five pieces that we think are the most imaginative pieces, and we are going to put them on silent auction. We will have a minimum bid so that people come throughout the weekend and have a chance to purchase those pieces, because the best pieces always go really fast.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, you know well.
I know. So that's nice. So it gives everybody a chance. And if someone comes in from out of town, you can always do a proxy bid. You can ask someone to help, you know, I want that piece no matter what on Sunday. Go see what it costs. You know, I got to go back to Portland.
Absolutely. That's why I got embedded iPads. You can take a picture of it. You can bid over the phone, whatever you need to do.
That's for you. So why did the Hoffman Center get involved? How'd that happen, John?
The Hoffman Center has always been about supporting the arts in Tillamook County. And things were changing this year, moving from the Trash Bash into separate fundraising events for Cardam. The Trash Art Show being a standalone event, and the Hoffman Center just wanted to get involved and, you know, really take part in such a great thing that's been going on for all of these years.
I think it's great. You know, people who listen to this show regularly know about the Hoffman Center because I mention it at least once, sometimes three times every show when I do my calendar of events, because there is so much going on at the Hoffman Center. Now, you're on the board there, is that right?
Yes, I am.
And what's your background? What made you decide to do that? You've been living in Manzanita for a while?
I've been living in Nehalem for about 2.5 years now.
Okay.
I moved out from Maine. I've got a music and an art background.
Oh.
And I started teaching a few classes at the Hoffman Center. And
in what?
Paste paper making.
Oh, okay. Paste paper making.
Yep. So it's a decorative paper that then gets used in many different mediums. You can do origami with it, paper mosaic, wrap it around any object you can imagine.
Cool.
It's a really cool thing.
Nice. And so once you started using the space, you decided you wanted to be involved in helping to do it.
I just really liked the other folks on the board, and it seemed like they had a great mission and something I wanted to be a part of.
I bet they were delighted, huh? You
oh,
think?
Oh, yeah.
Young blood.
Can we clone him 10
exactly.
times, please?
Exactly. So do you have anything in the show?
I do. I have a few pieces in the show.
Okay.
I've made the sign that has become the logo.
Oh, I love it. Yes, I saw it online.
Thank you very much. So that is actually a third of the piece that's showing. There's much more down below that no one else has seen yet other than Lorraine.
Okay.
It's going to be spectacular. Right. And then I'm also working on two other pieces for the show as well.
Excellent. Now, is it mostly local artists, all local artists, and what does local mean?
Well, that's a great question, Carol. For years, it's been really kind of a community event. This year, when partnering with the Hoffman, we have cast the net much, much wider, and John's been a genius at getting the word out nationally for the show. We're getting interest from both coasts.
Wow.
And when Riversea had the Medallion show in May, I'm sure you saw that.
Outrageous.
We immediately went there to see those works, and we were just very, very impressed. So we contacted all of those artists, and they're all going to show in our show, too. So it's going to be a really interesting mix this year. We're very excited about it.
And this the show itself is happening July 6th, 6 to 8:30 p.m., Saturday the 7th, 10 to 4, and Sunday 11 to 1. So it is a tight weekend, but it is, it's intense. It's very worthwhile going to. I know that. And if you are thinking you, now, can anybody just come to you on the 29th and give you art, or do they have to?
No, anyone can come. We hope you do, too.
Yeah,
our only thing is that the work has to fit through a standard-sized door.
Right. I remember the time that a door was the art.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah,
they carried it. Oh, gosh, that was great.
Thank
you so much for coming in, and even more so, thank you so much for doing this. And Lorraine and Susan started this. This is the 14th annual Trash Art Show. It was part of the entire Trash Bash, but now we get opportunities to do individual events. So Cardam Recycling and Hoffman Center. Bravo. And if you are still not sure what we're talking about, is there a website for people to...
Yes, we have a Facebook page for the show. So it's facebook.com/Manzanita Trash Art Show.
Yeah.
And all the information that you need can be found there.
There you go, folks. If you're a book with a face, you can find it on the web. Thank you so much for coming in, Lorraine Ortiz and John Freethy. And I look forward to seeing the show.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
It